Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Bronstein, how you doing this morning?
Well, it's okay. It's cold, but a little bit of sunshine, that helps.
Yeah. And I just want to say a little shout-out to my sainted mother, who's at the Autumn View Rehab Center in Hamburg, beautiful Hamburg, right near our office, and the staff out there, they're taking great care of her. So in case anybody's listening, I want to say hello.
Okay, very
personal,
nice, boy.
Personal things.
You're a nice son, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank you.
It is Saturday, January 30th, 2021. It is 10:05 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York at midnight, unless there's a sporting event. If there's a sporting event, we'll be on after that. Also, the show is available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. live streaming. If you go to our website, sapperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says live streaming, and you should be all set. Also, at the website, all of our shows are archived, so if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, once again, go to sapperston.com. This time, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives. Click on Archives, and all of our shows are there for, I don't know, a couple of years, really. Also,
I hope so.
Finally, last but not least, there's a free economic report.
Yep, I looked last night. It was 9:41. It wasn't up yet, so it must be up later in the night, but definitely by Saturday morning. This week, they talk about the vaccine and how it's not being distributed, is being distributed. They talk about the economy getting back a little bit. They also talk, and I think this is the reason the market was down, is the problem that President Biden may have getting through that new stimulus plan. It looks like it's going to be downsized, but I don't know, it's changing all the time. And they only mentioned GameStop once, so that was between the fight between Ted Cruz and AOC. So, but it's a very comprehensive report and a lot of charts. And
no, that wasn't a fight. They both agreed with each other. They agreed with each other. You know, right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And if for some reason you don't want to give us a call, you don't like talking, you know, on the air, you can go to our chat box at sapperston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Click on Chat, join the chat, and you should be all set. If you got a question, type it in there. If you have some stocks you want checked out, let us know what you're looking to do with them. Right,
and we're
now,
not going to cut anybody off, right? If somebody goes on chat and says something on a stock that we don't want to talk about, we don't want to censor any of these people, right? Okay, go ahead.
We don't want to have
little levity, very little.
No, but we don't want to have AOC after us. God forbid, that'd be frightening. You know.
Well, hey.
Each to his own taste.
I've had worse things happen.
Yeah, right now, we're going to go to Pete in East Aurora. Good morning.
Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Peter. Hi, David. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I have three ETFs I'd like you to look at, a gold and silver one. One question before is, Willard ever going to do the show again? I miss hearing him.
Oh, I think...
Well, we will...
Say that again.
Yeah, say it again. That's what Willard used to always say. Say that three times.
Twice, he said.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to talk to him.
Maybe he'll text us and let us know.
Yeah, there you go.
No, he's enjoying himself, and I keep on telling him that, you know, he's missed by his public and that he should do it more frequently, but you know, to each his own. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Peter enjoys me being here. Willard enjoys me being here. Jimmy, our tremendous producer, enjoys me being here because I make him laugh. But
anybody else you'd like to mention?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My
anyway,
grandchildren.
What were your ETFs there?
Yeah, let's get to
okay.
business.
I want to start with GLD, the gold ETF. I have support at being, well, where I got my stop in is 171. But what I really want to know is where, how much further up does it have to go for you to consider it a three-box reversal on point and figure?
Well, at the moment, if it did it immediately, that would be 174. So it'd have to hit 178, okay?
And closed at 172.61 for those.
And in order to give a buy signal, it would have to go to 184.
Wow, it's a long way away.
Yeah,
it's
not percentage wise.
It's discouraging. It goes up for 3 or 4 days or more, and then in one day it's back down. You know, you can't.
Well, there's a lot of things going on, you know, in the world. You know, one of the things was when Bitcoin was surging, you know, more people rather play Bitcoin than bother with gold, you know, so.
Yeah, interestingly enough, though, it was yesterday or the day before, all of a sudden gold was up $20-some dollars or $30, and Bitcoin was up $4,000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't correlate exactly, you know, but I think some of the fascination with playing gold has been taken, and now who knows with all these people, you know, on the Reddit sites and killing the short sellers, maybe everybody's going to go over there now.
You know, that's what I'm hoping for, and after the next one, I'll tell you something interesting about
okay.
that. Can you do SLV silver?
Oh, SLV. They're trying to get silver moving, and I got an interesting story on that one. But
$24.99, hi-ho silver away. Holy
yeah, silver
cow.
Is a lot better. I mean, you know,
yeah.
it's
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
silver's got a price objective of 35. It you know broke out, came back, tested the resistance, starting back up. So you know where to close $24.99.
Call it 25 P.
Yeah. So you know, long term, as long as you're above, say 20.96. You know, I would only reevaluate under 20.96. Short term, I'd like to see it stay above the 50-day at 23.35. So
yeah,
you know, it's looking much better than gold. You know.
Yes, I have stops in just below 23.
But you know what? A friend of mine told me, I haven't had a chance to check it out, that the Reddit boys are going after SLV because they hate J.P. Morgan, and they believe that J.P. Morgan has manipulated the price of silver for years, whether true or not, I don't know, but they've kept it down, supposedly, so they're trying to get at J.P. Morgan. So going after SLV, you know, causes silver to have to be bought, you know, so.
Yeah, that would be great.
Say, go to Reddit, boys, right?
Where is the three-box reversal on that?
Well, it already did.
It already did. And
yeah.
Where was that?
24.50, it looks like.
2450. Okay.
Yeah, and there's an entire piece, Pete. I don't know if you got mm-hmm. to see Barron's. There's a whole piece on gold and Barron's today.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh, is there?
I don't read Barron's.
Yes, you do. Art told us that. Thanks, Art.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting about SLV, that infamous Robin Hood site. Mm-hmm. I read on another site they posted 36 stocks that you could only buy one share of to add to any position, and SLV mm-hmm. was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because like I say, that's a target of the Reddit, Robin Hood, whatever. All of these sites, you know, and they feel that if they can drive SLV up and force them to have to buy silver, okay, and there's the supply of silver is almost non-existent, I guess, for buying, you know, in a sense. But
Are they going to blame all this on Donald Trump too? Do you think
eventually?
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
They're going to impeach him for inciting the Reddit cloud. Reddit crowd, right?
And
anyway,
that post is going to throw you guys off.
Well, it happens from time to time. I know certain people used to say that they would. As a matter of fact, our next caller up will say that they were watching him, and if he said something, they would interrupt his show. You know, so.
Do you have time for one more?
One more, and we'll roll along. Right?
Okay, Central Fund, CEF.
CEF.
Sprott now, I guess.
Yeah.
Central Fund Account.
Yeah. It looks better than GLD, you know.
It's a mix of gold and silver.
Yeah, because it's run up, and right now it's in a trading range between about, say, 20 and 18 or so.
Close at 18.95.
Yeah, so.
Where's the three back? Reversal.
Well, it just reversed down, so to reverse back up, it'd have to go to 20.
20, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Well.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate
Thanks.
The call. Okay, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
I'm getting ready.
Can't
I was
wait
excited.
For this.
Is this a drum roll? Do we have a drum roll?
Next is Jason in Cherry Creek. Where have you been all our life?
Oh, man, it's been a crazy ride, but it's been whatever. Fun.
Whatever.
Grateful Dead.
I've had some deals go up, I've had some deals go down, and I had one that affected Willard, and I wasn't too happy with it when a guy screwed me over on a house deal. So I was reluctant to call for a while, you know, but either way, I cannot possibly not call with what's going on right now with GME and AMC.
Oh,
and
yeah.
How can you not? Are you kidding me? I have waited a lifetime to see this.
Really?
Are you kidding? The hedge funds, the same group of guys who made your life miserable in 2008, you know, was basically their malinvestment, and then they get bailed out with trillions of dollars, and you're left holding a bag and a 50% reduction in the market that takes damn near a decade to recoup. And these guys are now getting absolutely spanked because they went on a short sale so big they sold more shares than there are in the float. 140% on GameStop, now down to 129% after the Citadel and Robinhood pulled their shenanigans. They only covered like 11% of their short position.
That's unbelievable.
Then,
yeah.
It's that big. It's still that big, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
wow. Oh, yeah, yeah, because they can't possibly cover it this. And what they basically did is when they had that opportunity, then mind you, you had options expiring the next day.
Right.
So when you have your short position, in order to not get those margin calls, you at least have to collateralize it with options, you know, call options,
mm-hmm.
the right to buy it. So they have these things expiring. They didn't tank it in time. And I'm going to tell you right now, throw everything you have out the window on fundamentals on these things, because it has zero to do with fundamentals.
Oh, yeah. So, no question.
You know, because everyone says that. They're like, well, it's not worth it. Well, no offense. I've been on the drum roll with you guys for years on, is Amazon really worth it? Are any of these stocks worth it on a P.E. ratio?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
They're not. But this is not about that. And, you know, let me, for anyone who's got any problem with these guys, too, AMC movie theaters, right?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
No, listen, they can't help this coronavirus nonsense that they came up on them with this.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So they became a target for the short sale. Why wouldn't they be? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
but
sure.
What this company did, or I'm sorry, not company, what Wall Street Bets did, I love this group, by the way. You guys should at least, you know, go on Reddit and see what they're up to.
Didn't they shut that down, though?
No, they can't because it's not Google. It's not Facebook. It's Reddit. It's a totally different forum. So you don't have the censorship.
Because I tried to check that out on Friday, and I went into it.
You got to download the Reddit app.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. I'm telling you, it's the best thing I did. Because you can actually, you don't get all this nonsense censorship. And this is being disputed because it doesn't fit our narrative nonsense. So anyway, with AMC Movies, they saved this company. Because what they did by keeping the bid supported,
right,
the $600 million that AMC owed to its lenders that were going to put it into bankruptcy, I don't want to say forgave the note, but they took stock and said, completely save the company.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And the interesting part is they did it at $4.50 a share or something like that.
Man, I know. It's absolutely. I'm telling you right now, like, there is so much money to be made in volatility. You know, I love VIXI. You know, I like playing these types of things. And my personal opinion, I don't call you during bull markets because a mm-hmm. lot of times I think they're typically, you know, just overrun nonsense. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? They're hyped up and they leave you holding the bag. So this, I will say, because I always call when I think they're, you know, you're at a peak. Every 12 years, 1988, 1999, 2008, we're about due now in 2020, and I don't think Biden's going to be a savior of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to look at another market correction, but this time it's going to be because these guys, you know, they're not selling, okay? It's not about profit for these guys, which is the weirdest thing you can ever imagine.
It's true.
It's the only way you can actually put a hedge fund out of business.
A number of guys on this, I don't care if I lose my money. I just want to get even.
right.
Have you ever seen that in the market in all your years?
No, it's the weirdest thing I saw.
But, no offense, it's hold the line. It's what they're doing. And
yeah, but
you know what? They're not wrong on it because you learned when you took your Series 7 and all that, the most dangerous thing you could ever do is a naked short sell. Because the possible loss is infinity.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
No question.
And it would never go to that. Why would it never go to that? Because of greed. Because you're going to capture a profit.
Yeah.
Now, hypothetically, if you keep buying and holding on something that has more shares sold short than there is in the float, what happens to the price?
Keeps going up.
Forever. I mean, you mark my words. They're going to get this thing up over $1,000 on GME.
Well, did you hear what Musk did? Elon Musk? He tweeted.
Did he go in and support the bid?
No, he tweeted that if you guys can get GME up to $1,000 a share, I'll put their logo on my next rocket that goes up.
Can I tell you what I did to Elon Musk? Actually, I loved it. When they did this, Robinhood announced that they were only going to allow one share buying. Or mm-hmm. actually, it was on Thursday when they cut out buying. You know what I love about Twitter and all that is you can actually say something to somebody you would never catch the eyes or ears of.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent this guy a tweet, and I said, "Do you remember the hedge fund companies that almost put you out of business when you first started, and you had to basically raise up a ton of capital and get this thing to get, you know, to stay alive?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "These are the same people right now." You know what I mean? Who are shutting out the bid. We could use a guy like you to kind of come in and support this because they can't stop you from buying. And wouldn't you know it, that stock ended up skyrocketing and he got all involved and did like four tweets later in about an hour.
Jeez. Well, I'll tell you, one of the unintended consequences is that, you know, one of the big reasons why the averages were weak is that these hedge funds and whoever else is involved in it are selling off the good stuff.
Raising capital.
Yeah.
That's why I was calling, because one, you have stocks are ripe for the pick, and they really are. They're oversold, in my opinion. They're overvalued. And these hedge funds, I mean, the amount of money they have to come up with, every $11 that GameStop goes up,
mm-hmm.
the hedge fund Melvin or whatever loses $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Every $11.
Absolutely amazing, I'll tell you. It's Well,
it's overdue. There was never a time where regular investors can take advantage of having the upper hand. You know, and it kills me because you put on like these morons on CNBC and they're like, this is market manipulation. Oh, no, getting a group of venture capitalists, getting a bunch of hedge funds behind the thing and shorting a stock into oblivion, that's not any type of market manipulation. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, there's a number of lawyers, ex-SEC lawyers and so forth, says it cannot be considered manipulation unless they're putting out false information or misinformation, which is intriguing.
Oh, you mean CNBC?
Yep.
That was a joke.
Okay.
Well, when Bill Ackman came on, it was in the beginning of the pandemic. It was in March, and I can't remember if it was the 23rd or whatever. And he came out, and he just said he sold everything. He's so afraid and blah, blah. Right, he was like in tears.
Right.
I had to be careful that I almost swore. He was in tears and find out he was short, and he made $2 billion in that day.
I'll tell you a little whopper that just recently happened with CNBC.
What?
They said Melvin Capital is out of their short position.
Did they say that? No.
They did. They did. And they are absolutely not out of their short position. As I said, they're at 129% short of the float. And AMC now is down 165% of the float.
Unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you one other thing. You know, Citrion, the outfit that always, you know, would take shorts and then publish.
Yeah.
They said they are no longer effective immediately putting out any short reports. And they are being a firm that will now only put out buy recommendations.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, very intriguing.
They're going to try everything to stop this squeeze. You know what I mean?
Yep. Oh yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, I know these things are overvalued, but the way I would play this thing personally is I would buy these stocks long, actually hold them because like they're more valuable actually owning them because they are going to need to be bought, and I would actually go on the put side because of the volatility about 2 months out. Mm-hmm. And go way under the strike price, almost as far as you can go because of the volatility. And you can end up making a killing on both sides in an unusual straddle.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say. The way to play it really is with spreads, you know, and those type of things, you know. And you can reduce your risk and have, you know, tremendous opportunity, you know. So I agree.
I'm hearing from you guys. I'm going to start calling in more regularly.
We all appreciate that. Nice
that
hearing from you there.
Is that a threat?
I know, Jay. I was going to start off with like my own disclaimer. I was going to be like, "Don't listen to me. I'm a monkey with a keyboard. Don't you know?"
Well, we great to hear from you. Believe me.
And obviously, you know, I can't do it without silver.
Right.
They are going to be pushing up silver. I love it, and you could tell from the divergence the other day between gold and silver.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, gentlemen. Great to hear from you guys.
All right.
Take care.
Stay healthy.
Great hearing from you. Have a good weekend. Take care.
Bye now.
Okay, right now, phone line's wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Or?
Chat room. We have one.
We have one in the chat room. Yeah. Unbelievable. I thought they gave up after last week.
Well, we just got so busy. So
yeah,
John Clark, and that's his name, is on here. He said, thanks for the insight on AXON with an exclamation point. Now looking to buy NNI, which closed at 68.79, Peter.
NNI, and what is the Nell Net?
Yep.
Never heard of them. What do they do?
Add it to the list. They're financial.
Financial
services,
It's had a heck of a run. I mean, may have made an all-time high. I can't tell because the chart doesn't go back that far. But looking at it, let's see. The 200 days, it's 60.46. 50 day, it's 70. It's trading at 68.79. So, you know, once it drops below the 50-day, there's a possibility that it goes to the 200-day back to 60. But there's a lot of support at the breakout area around 68. Potential target, for what it's worth, based on the charting method, is 91. So if you were thinking of taking a slightly at least intermediate to longer-term position, you have what? You'd have to reevaluate it under 60, right?
Right. So student loans, Pete.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. The educational financial services, yeah.
Well, you know, there is something interesting here, too. But anyway, you'd reevaluate it under 60, so that's 8 points down. But if the target's any good, that's 13 points up. A reasonable risk reward. So I just use those parameters. But also what's interesting is that number of people, you know, and believe me, some of these kids or whatever are making millions of dollars, okay? There's one guy they interviewed who started the whole thing. He said, I didn't even anticipate. He said, I just wanted to start a trading group. Say, hey, a bunch of us get interested, never anticipated this happening. And he made $20 million and then lost $15 million, but in the, you know, with all of this stuff back and forth, he's got millions of dollars. But more and more people are posting from those groups. They paid off their student loans, and they paid off their house mortgage and so forth and so on. You know, so.
Well, the only interview I saw, now I don't watch it maybe as closely as you,
right.
But the only interview I saw was some 26-year-old kid who was all excited because he made $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was odd that he made, you know, that it was such a little amount that they, maybe other people didn't want
to
go on.
Well, he might not have had that much money put into it. You know?
No, I understand that, but it just, you know, they're making this big thing about the millions and billions, and they have this young man who made $1,000. I just thought it was kind of odd. But it was NBC.
Because I think they had some guy on. I forgot how long it took. It wasn't like overnight, but he started with some very small amount of
He'll have a book out next.
Right.
This is how I did it. Yeah, Call in. You get your free CD. Only have to pay for postage and handling.
But, you know, supposedly he went from a low amount to $20 million.
Oh, good.
You know, so whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, you're not going to get sympathy from a lot of people, Peter, for the hedge funds.
No.
Jason's just
especially when you got all these guys out to say, I don't care if I lose my money. Who knows? At least pay off your student loans and any other debts before you lose your money, right?
There you go.
We're going to go to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning. It's wonderful to hear you guys.
Well, it's wonderful to be heard.
Yes. the first thing I was thinking about was a stock, BlackBerry. Now, it's BB.
Yeah, another one of those.
Yeah, Thursday it was $14.65. It dropped a whole $10.45.
Yep.
And its 52-week low is $2.70, as according to Barron's. Now, I remember this company going back when they first started having these handheld devices, and I think it was in Canada.
They're a Canadian company, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it just didn't prosper. Apple came in with their iPhones and all the other companies, and BlackBerry was sort of not in the news at all. I'm wondering what the potential for that is.
It is hard to say because you got to realize this is the game playing in the short squeeze. Very difficult, to even guess. Okay, I couldn't even
tell you. It's that close to 14.19.
Yeah, I mean it got up to 28. It dropped to 14. What did it close at? 14, right? Yeah. So
now it's just showing short flow of P to 7.1%,
which was weird. I don't know because I've seen some of those.
Well, this is a company though that everybody is thrown away for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
But their product was excellent. I never had it, but people that have them, some people still use them. I guess.
I hate it. Willard had one that he'd have me try to fix. I said I wouldn't even use this thing.
Oh, okay.
It's way too complicated.
Oh, all right. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was great for business purposes, but for where they lost their way is they didn't have it for the average person who could use it. You know, it was not that user friendly. You know, so
right.
But anyway, I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, can you believe charts or anything right now when these guys are pushing this stuff?
Right.
You know,
and
so
this isn't really like a game console, right? It's just a handheld type device.
No. They're not even in that, really. I mean, their business is totally different now. You ought to look up. You know, we always say do your own research, but they're in other things. They don't even think of the phone anymore.
Right.
Okay.
They're in security, and they're in all sorts of things.
Oh wow! I have to look at that.
Yeah. They're totally different. But you got to be aware this thing's going to be whipped around. You know, Monday it could be 28 again. For all I know, I don't know.
Sure. In addition to as a supplement to that GameStop that everyone's talking about. In fact, somebody brought it up last week. Mike in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But. I saw that the chart, they even had a chart, $325 up 260.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you see it when it dropped back from 400 to 150, you know, 170?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't see it that time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's from day to day. I mean, you want to get in this game, you better know what you're doing, and you better be aware of the risks, you know, that are involved.
On TV, I saw a picture of a store, GameStop. Now, that's a hardware, that's a store where they sell the hardware, the games.
All kinds of tchotchkes, little stuffed animals and stuff. Yeah.
This all started before these guys. This all started with the activist investors, okay, who wanted... to get involved in the company. One of them is the head of Chewy, I think.
Yeah.
And he's being respected for having beat Amazon out of the pet business, you know, the online pet stuff. And I forgot who the other guy was, but they're two well-respected people. They got seats on the board, and that got the stock going way back when it was single digit, you know, or maybe yeah. 8, 10, whatever.
Yeah, well, in 2017 to the summer of 2020, it was $4 a share.
So now, you know, this week or maybe a few days ago, it hit 480, all right?
Yeah.
And now it dropped down to 252?
That's 480 with a decimal point after the 80?
Yep. $480.
$483.00.
And you want to get a good laugh. You know what the price objective is? $41 a share.
I hope it doesn't make that.
Well, I doubt it because, you know.
Right away.
You know, if they've still got what Jason said and they're still 129% shorts. Unless, and I don't think... You know, when you read in Barron's about this whole thing, between there's no legality to say it's market manipulation, and, so they're treading very lightly, you know.
Well, who was saying that? These experts?
SEC.
Former
SEC
right.
lawyers.
But meanwhile, the SEC's doing everything they can do to find out what's going on.
Oh, yeah. They have to say, we're not going to look at it. You know.
No, but these are former. This is not the current SEC.
No comments coming from them. But I'm just saying, he was a lawyer. There's a well-respected lawyer out of Columbia University or something like that said, no way can you legally stop it. Okay. But then again... As I told somebody, you never know what the government's going to do.
Here we go.
And they'll spend next few weeks, you know, they're going to have hearings on it, you know.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Very
but anyway,
knowledgeable.
Whatever.
Get a lot of information out of those.
So just be aware that, you know, check what – and that's why it wouldn't be bad to check Reddit and see what these guys are doing.
Sure.
So knowing if you want to get in something – are these guys going to be controlling it, you know? Because I don't know how you judge what to do, you know.
No. Last week's Barron's, they had a nice list of sustainable funds, and I wasn't able to pick out whether that meant that they sustained a dividend.
No, it has nothing to do with that at all.
What was that about?
It's about green, right?
It's about social responsibility.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No fossil fuels, no, you know. Anything that we all use, no meat, no this, no that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Kiss your neighbor, you know, whatever.
Kiss my neighbor? I think I have men living on either side.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
Listen, this is 2021.
Right.
Nothing wrong with anything.
Just as an aside, Peter, did you get a mail I sent to you?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right. I'll leave room for some other people to
come
on.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, right now the phone line's wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. And while you're getting ready to punch us up on your phone there, we'll take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB at an RIA. Right now, phone lines are still wide open, even though I asked everybody to start punching their little numbers in the phone, give us a call. But numbers to call are 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Or you can go to the chat box at saperstein.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says chat, and archives. Click on chat. Click on join the chat. A lot of work, I know, but you can type in a question.
No, it's not.
Type in a symbol, and if you do type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it. Okay. So right now we got somebody in the chat box.
Yeah, Zach, looking to take new positions in Blackstone Group BX, closed at 6719.
Okay.
And one other one.
All right. Blackstone Group, BX. Nice, nice.
Very nice.
Beautiful breakout. Took out the high, early high in this year, or last year, rather. I forgot it was a new year.
And time flies when you're having fun, Pete.
Exactly. You know, I would say, you know, you have a potential price target around probably 90. 95, 200-day moving average 56, closed at 67, 50-day at 63, so it's above that.
1% short position.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on whether you're being a somewhat longer-term investor, you could use under 56 to reevaluate it, but, you know, the risk-reward's not bad. You know, that's about, 12 points on the downside and maybe 25, 30 points on the upside. Risk-reward looks pretty good. And first possible reevaluation area would be at 61. And, you know, actually, yeah, 61. So looks good.
FTNT. Fortinet. Closed at 144.75, Peter.
Cybersecurity. Yeah, they're one of the big names in cybersecurity. The only disappointment is after breaking out, it's kind of coming all the way back into where it broke out of, you know, and slightly below it. So ideally, you'd like to see it hold, you know, in this area. 50 days, it's above the 50-day, 137, above the 200-day at 130. Actually, it has a downside objective right now of the recent sell signal at 130-something. So I guess if you've looked into it a lot and you feel comfortable with it, certainly you wouldn't want to see it at 129. That would be a reevaluation point. And a shorter-term reevaluation point, again, would be at, say, 136.
Mm-hmm. Close at 144.75.
Yeah, and I, you know, theoretically, it should have 150 to 108.42 would be in the high 190s as a possibility, but right now it's on a short-term sell signal. So you got to use those parameters for what risk you want to take, or, you know, you're willing to buy it and potentially reevaluate or get out at 129, and that's what, about 15 points down?
Mm-hmm.
10%. That's not a big risk, 10%. So use those parameters. Okay. Right now, phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. It's 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And it was a down January. So what does that mean for the January indicator?
Well, not good.
Not good, right. Although I think when January's down, it's like more like a 50-50 chance of being down for the year. Typically, in a election year or first term of a president, Februarys are not great.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's like 50-50 in Februarys, but they said that if February has a good month, it's usually not really a tremendous up. But if it has a bad month, it's usually a bad down mm-hmm. in February. So, you know, be aware of that. And also, you know, if this stuff continues, and it's amazing, you know, the number of subscribers to that Reddit site, you know, Wall Street Bets, I guess it's called, their subsite or whatever you call it, group, has gone from 2 million people to 6 million people. They said that there's never been this amount of options volume.
Wow.
one firm, zero something, zero trade, mm-hmm. right, announced that their new applications or, you know, for accounts is 200 times the average of the last 12 months, you know.
Wow.
Just unbelievable. So, you know, the odds are, unless they figure a way of clamping down, and you never know, but like I say, there's a lot of knowledgeable people who say they can't, but who knows? But, you know, so be aware that, you know, this phenomenon is going to continue, you know, so be aware of it. Okay, we're going to go to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, this should be helping you out with volatility.
Oh, I love volatility. volatility is the best. I just got to have a plan, that's all, right?
Yep, exactly.
Take a look at the chart on steel, X. I sold some 1750s at the 50. I like this going forward with this infrastructure and just, mm-hmm. you know, I like the play.
I mean, based on the chart, it's a good play, you know, and the
close
stock.
At 1776. How yeah. patriotic. There you go.
Isn't that neat?
1750s, I guess. I did them yesterday. The volatility mm-hmm. went up, so got a nice number for them and
yeah.
took a shot. Did two weekers on them, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing about that, fundamentally, about the infrastructure, is I've been waiting for that for about 6 or 7 years. You know, they're having trouble with the stimulus. I think they're going to have trouble with that, too. But I know.
I agree. You know, yeah, they've been promising. Hopefully they agree.
Hopefully they
both
do.
Both sides agree yeah. on it. You know, yeah. spending
well, money, you know, the weird part is, that, you know, that stimulus thing, they're putting that through or trying to put it through a different process, you know, that has to do with the budget or something like that. And you don't need the Republicans to pass it, you know.
Right.
So we shall see.
Another quick question. Throw this out to you, see what you think of it. I paper traded this idea for about a year, and it worked. So I took it live about 16 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Find an ETF you like. Okay, you know, trying to pick an individual stock is too tough. And IHI, look at this thing. IHI, medical equipment, medical technology. I like what it holds. Stryker, it holds Zimmer, all the ones I like. Thermo Fisher, all the great.
It's a medical device company.
Right.
ETF.
So here's what I've been doing
mm-hmm.
for pizza money, nothing big, but just
right.
to have a little fun. Take a position when it crosses from below 50 to 52. Okay, ride it to 70.
Well, hang on. Below 50, what?
So you take a position when it's been beaten up, but it's under 50.
What's under?
The relative strength.
Okay, that's
a stock.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the stock 340.
I'm thinking too. So you watch it till it takes a little bit of a correction.
So it goes under the 50.
Under the 50.
On the RSI.
Okay. You don't take the position until it hits 52 on the up.
Okay,
and then you always got to buy, sell it. When it hits 49, you're out.
Okay,
and then you sell it when it's 70. Been riding this thing for 16 months, hasn't failed me yet. Safe, collecting,
mm-hmm.
pizza money. Where does one go wrong with a strategy like that? This is one I devised on my own, watching this thing go.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the way you're doing it, I've seen that strategy out by somebody else. Okay, in other words, they buy when the RSI goes through 50 to the upside. That's a buy sign. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I've seen that. I don't know, you know, where you go wrong. I mean, you've been using it, and especially the fact is they always say, you know, if you can find one indicator and know it so well and the characteristics and what to expect, you can do very well. You know.
I absolutely knew nothing about RSI a couple of years ago. I read
right.
an article on stockcharts.com, which I love that. I got a couple of people I follow real close, and one guy talked about it. And I paper traded IHI for about a year.
Which was great, smart way to do it.
And then I said, I'm taking this thing live about 16 months ago for a small amount. And
mm-hmm.
it's you know, do you miss it when the RSI runs to 75 and stays there for, three, 4 weeks? You do, but guess what? If you like the ETF, And, you know, and it's fun to kind of watch it.
Oh, yeah. No question about that. So as soon as it gets to 70, you sell it?
Sell it. No questions asked.
Very good.
What the market's doing. And then I wait. So I was out of it at one point for about 3-4 months, and it didn't tank, but its RSI went down. I mean, you could have a thing that's holding its own, but if semiconductors are running, its RSI is going to be, you know, it's going to drop a little bit because mm-hmm. compared to other sectors.
Yeah, because the RSI, I think, is based on where it closes in its 14-day range or something like that. Yeah,
but you wait till it crosses under. And then I don't jump on it at 50. I wait till it's 52.
Yeah, which is smart.
Yeah, and then I'm limiting my losses because so if I pick it up at 52 and the thing goes under 50, I'm losing chump change, but I got this white thing going up higher.
Exactly. Yeah.
So just throw it out to the public.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. But if you're also teaching people, come up with an approach, B, test it out on paper trading or, back testing, whatever, before you actually jump in,
Picking individual stocks is a tough game.
It's tough.
If you can find a sector that you think over the next 10 years, the Strikers, the Zimmers, the Thermo Fishers, those are going to be around 20 years from now. People who buy them today, I don't care what the market is, are going to do very, very well. They're great companies.
Mm-hmm.
You do the sector. It's got a very small expense ratio. I think it's a no-brainer myself.
Yeah, and you're using what, the daily RSI?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I get it free on StockCharts. It's fun to watch.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very good, guys.
Hey thank you. Appreciate it very much. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. This is toward your last chance to get into the show right now. So
Last chance.
That's it. So nothing on the chat box right now, right?
Nope. Let's talk about the Fed. Fed met this week. They reiterated how accommodating they are and mm-hmm. are going to be. And, they're trying to, they've tried to do a number of things. They've tried to get inflation up to their 2% level. And they've been trying this since, 2008 mm-hmm. and 2009. Let's bring it in. But, I keep reminding people that, Japan has had negative or low interest rates since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been able to do it. In our country, if you look at the savings rate, it used to be, I think it was 4 or 5%. It's now 17%.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting to be what Japan and Canada, people are nervous and are saving money as opposed to spending it. And I think once the, obviously, the economy opens up, and we're able to go places, mm-hmm. people will. It'll come back.
But yeah.
I just, there's no inflation that I can feel. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah. Well, it's interesting.
Things.
The cover art article in Barron's is the GameStop revolt has just begun.
Okay. Yeah. It'll get you to buy the magazine.
A band of online renegades took the investing world by storm. Investors can ignore some of the silliness, but the market may never be the same again. Interesting.
I've heard that before, but
we'll see. No, it's going to change things. Right now, we're going to go to Tom in North Tonawanda. Good morning.
Good morning, boy. Was it nice to hear Jason again? Huh?
Isn't that something? Holy cow! And he gave us some good information.
Was you're always right? asking for him. That's nice of you.
Good news. I had both of those stocks, my friend.
Really? Holy cow!
Yeah. Okay. That's all I want to tell you.
That's all right. You still own it?
Oh, no, I got rid of them both.
Good. All right. Tremendous. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And have a nice weekend.
Okay, you too, guys.
Thank you very much.
Stay
care. Appreciate it.
Sure, bye.
Okay. Right now, give us a call. It's like the bars close at 4? Like, what do they call that?
Last call.
Last call.
Not
right?
that I would know.
No, can't imagine.
Last call for alcohol. Not that I would know.
Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541.
The best day of the year is when they turn the clocks back because you got an extra hour to drink.
And another thing being talked about is commodities. They think they're just beginning. they've been in the doldrums, I don't know for how many years, and some people are starting to say that may be the way to go. You know what I get a kick out of? They talk about fuel cells, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You hear what Elon Musk calls them?
Yeah.
Fool cells. So we'll see who gets the last laugh in the end. You know,
no
question about that. So, and, you know, EV stocks have been, you know, great plays. No question about that. Matter of fact, they had an article, you know, about General Motors, and they feel that General Motors is really moving in the right direction quickly.
Yeah. Well, because they said they're going to be electric vehicles only by 2035 and
it's by 2025 they were going to have 30 models or something.
2030
like that.
Carbon neutral.
Yeah. I mean. And so people are very bullish on General Motors. Price targets, some people are given a price target of 80. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where to close at 57 somewhere around there. And Ford, they were not that thrilled about.
No.
But they said, you know, it's kind of up in the air with Ford. I guess the one analyst who they were quoting says, you know, can they execute and so forth and so on. And he said he would have had a price target, you know, somewhere around 14, mm-hmm. but he took $4 off because he doesn't believe they're going to
be able to do it.
Totally do it. So he basically put a sell rating, you know, on it and, you know, a target of 9. And,
well, I told you about Jim Cramer,
right? But that's an analyst. But
Cramer came out and said, you know, don't buy any of the energy stocks, this, that, and the other thing. And I think, you know, he was hospitalized for a pinched nerve that I think he got for patting himself on the back.
Right.
Ba-dum-bum.
What was wrong with the energy stocks? They've been on a tear.
No, but he said, you know, the millennials.
Don't get in now.
Right. Mean, well, yeah, just adamantly against them.
Well, remains to be seen. It's just interesting, as I point out to people, that, you know, oils, you know, and gas and all, it's a dirty word, but it fueled the world, you know, not to be a pun or anything, you know.
It was.
We are where we are today because of energy, okay?
Right, but, you know, they want to go to green energy, and, you know, the argument always is it takes more bad energy to produce the good energy.
Come on.
No, I'm just saying.
You know, come on. Be aware, you know. Now it's a dirty word, you know, when it actually helped the world get to where it is, wherever that is. And, you know, so I get a kick out of that one. But all of those energy companies, be aware that they're already moving into alternative energy and so forth, okay? And, you know, they see the handwriting on the wall, too.
Right.
And, you know, so be aware that some energy companies could be a buy.
Got a couple in the chat room.
Okay, what do we got?
Somebody wants to know about buying Alibaba stock, BABA.
Yeah, that's a tough one with that Jack Ma, whatever it is.
Yeah. 253.83, the Chinese Amazon.
Baba. Alibaba. Let's take a quick look, hopefully. Only got 3 minutes left.
Well, we got a couple. We can get through them.
Alibaba.
Talk fast.
Well, all right. The 200 days at 252. The 50 days at 253. Stock closed at 253, as I tend to always say. Make or break. You want to get above both of those. I would want to see it move back above that area. You know, 254, 255 would give a new buy signal at 272. And, you know, price objective, believe it or not, is 360. So the risk-reward seems all right. No question about that.
Right.
But you want to see them stay above the 200-day. Otherwise, it could drop back to the 240 area.
Okay. Yum China, YUMC, close at 56.71.
YUMC, Yum China.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get that one real quick. This is like the lightning round, I guess.
It is a lightning round.
Yeah. Doesn't look bad, you know, 200 days at 53, 50 days at 58, close at 56, you know, don't like it under the 50-day, 56, who would, you know, potential short-term sell signal on it. Price objective may be 66, so okay, I guess.
All right, last but not least, Johnson & Johnson.
J&J, 66% effective, huh, the vaccine.
Well, that's against
Yeah. But anyway, it's a great company. I mean, it's no question about that. 148 and 200 day, 50 days, 154. And it closed at 163, a little disappointment, but should have good support, you know, in the 156 area. Might be worth the play here. Once again, you know, look into it, look into, you know, the effect. They were disappointed by the vaccine, but
do your own research.
It's been
right?
A great company, you know, and should have really good support, 156.
I like their baby shampoo.
Yeah. So. Okay. We're at the end of the show, finish the lightning round, and as we always say, keep a little powder dry. Make sure you do your own research, you know, to see what's going on.
Don't believe everything you hear or see.
No, and, you know, the only reason I keep mentioning Barron's is you do learn some things, you know. Yeah, things I didn't know about how the markets work and how the options work, and I never realized that when calls are created that the option guy is short. So he's got to buy the stock, which tends to fuel it over and over to protect himself. Yeah. So anyway, until next week, take care.
Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.